Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The New Testament lesson for today is from Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 31. This can be found on page 1091 of your pew Bible. 3 years after his conversion, Paul flees Damascus for Jerusalem, where he is met with suspicion by the disciples who knew him previously as Saul, a persecutor of Christians. Paul earns their acceptance through the intervention of Barnabas, but is forced to flee the city when his preaching draws the attention of Jews hostile to the faith. A reading from Acts chapter 9, beginning with the 26th verse. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
I have a rather obscure fear. In fact, I've never met someone with this same exact fear of mine. So here it is. Feel free to laugh. I am afraid of wax figures. I know, it's strange. But when I see a wax figure, I have this internal fear that it's going to come to life and attack me. Well, this week, in an effort to legitimize my fear, I learned that it's called something. Automatonophobia. So since there is a word for this, it means that my fear is a very real thing. Now, this fear of mine, you can imagine it is not an everyday kind of struggle, but every now and then, I unexpectedly enter a room with a dreaded wax figure. And when that happens, it's like everything around me goes quiet. And it feels like that cold trickle of sweat down your spine. And my hands, they start to tingle as all the panic and anxiety rises to the surface. Even admitting my biggest irrational fear to you all now, I recognize how silly this is. I'm a grown woman who is terrified that a wax figure is going to come to life and attack me. But that visceral reaction, that feeling of fear taking over your entire body and mind, is not unfamiliar to most of us. Because fear is a very real thing. And when we look around at our lives or we turn on the news and look at our world, there are very real things that cause us to be fearful. We fear for our relationships when it's in desperate need of repair. We fear our collection of unpaid bills that pile up. We fear for our children as they go off to school. We fear loneliness, failure, rejection. We live in a world where there is a lot of fear. So how do we respond to these very real things that cause us so much fear. What we see in our text this morning, there are two different kinds of fear. There's fear of man and fear of God. And what we discover this morning is that when we shift our focus from fearing man to fearing God, those earthly fears we face subside. Amen. We're beginning a new 3-week series this morning called Messengers for Christ, where we'll look at how the early church continued to share the good news even after the resurrection of Jesus. And we pick up in our text today with one of the most well-known messengers for Christ, Paul. Now, if you've been around for the last few weeks, his story is pretty familiar to you. Paul was initially a persecutor of Christians, but underwent this profound conversion experience on the road to Damascus, leading him to become one of the most influential apostles of Jesus Christ. And after his conversion, Paul spent the rest of his life on missionary journeys across the Mediterranean and writing letters, which formed a significant portion of our New Testament. His life played a pivotal role in spreading the gospel and shaping the early church. Our text picks up today 3 years after his conversion, and Paul has decided to travel to Jerusalem. And once he gets there, he encounters two different groups of people that both respond to him out of fear. So let's pick up in verse 26 to see that first group of people. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. Paul is trying to connect with fellow believers and is met with fear from the disciples. Now, before we start criticizing the disciples, I think their reaction is understandable. Paul had previously terrorized the early believers. He had put their friends in prison, which potentially led to some of their deaths. Now it's 3 years later, and he appears in Jerusalem claiming to believe in Jesus. And while their reaction is understandable, the reality is when we operate in this fear, it impacts the unity of the church. The disciples respond to their fear with rejection and judgment. They size up Paul and his past history and think to themselves, surely this guy can't believe in Jesus. And in today's church, guess what? We still reject and judge people in our own community who don't fit our preconceived notions of how a Christian should act, dress, or be like. We can be so quick to judge someone based on their past mistakes or our differences, even among the body. When I first moved into my very first apartment in New York City, it was this hot, humid day in August, and I had somehow convinced one of my very dear friends to help me move all of my furniture. And so we were just about finished with the day, but we had one more job to do, which was to move my heavy, bulky couch up to the third floor. So there we were, sweaty, irritable, with one final piece of furniture to move. And we were doing our absolute best, trying to navigate down the block and avoiding dropping it on the floor on the nasty New York City street. And while we were doing this, I happened to spot these two men on the street corner just looking at us. And of course, my mind goes to, Can you not look at me right now? The last thing I need is to be catcalled or made fun of. And the next thing I know, these two men come up right where my friend and I are standing and simultaneously lift the couch up. And one of the men, he looks at me and he goes, "So, where are we taking this thing?" And these two men, who my brain told an awful narrative about why they were looking at me on that street corner, hold this heavy, bulky couch up three flights of stairs and place the couch exactly where I wanted it to go. Now, I've been in New York City for about 4 years, so I've since learned there are lighter, less bulkier furniture that's specifically designed for New York. But as they left, one of them turned around and said, "God bless you both," and walked out without a thank you or any expectation of anything in return. In my own fear, I had rejected and judged these men, even before knowing a single thing about them. So we see through Paul's encounter that when we act from a place of fear, we judge and reject people around us. But there's another response that this type of fear elicits. So let's look at that second group of people who are also fearing Paul. Picking up in verse 28, it says, "So he, Paul, went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him." The Hellenists were so afraid of Paul, they wanted to kill him. Okay, so who are these Hellenists and why are they so afraid? Hellenistic Jews, they were Jewish people who were influenced by Greek culture due to the spread of Hellenism, which began after the conquest of Alexander the Great. And they embraced aspects of the Greek culture, their philosophy, their literature, their customs, and oftentimes they spoke Greek as their primary language, meaning they didn't adhere as closely to the Jewish traditions or customs as other subsects of Jewish people. Now, there was one thing that really separated these Hellenistic Jews from the other Jewish people and the early church, and that's that these Jews rejected the resurrection. They didn't believe that Jesus was the true Messiah and thought that he was a false prophet. So you can imagine, they don't love that Paul is boldly proclaiming to anyone who will listen that Jesus is the Messiah. And what makes matters even worse for them is that Paul was a Hellenistic Jew. At one point, he was called Saul of Tarsus. Tarsus was a city known for its Greek influence and culture. So now that we know who they are, what are they fearing? Well, if we boil it down, they fear people who think differently than they do. And that fear, it became so all-consuming that it turned into anger. Now, thankfully, becoming angry at people who think differently than us is no longer an issue. It's not like there's opposing beliefs or political views or core values that we have in our society today that have turned us against one another. Okay, obviously not. I still have a temptation to grow angry at those other people. We constantly find ourselves frustrated and irate at those people out there who aren't behaving the way we want them to, speaking the way we want them to, or sharing the same viewpoints as we do. But if we sat down and examined that anger for just a little bit, you know what we would find? Fear. We're afraid for our families. We're afraid for our nation. We're afraid for our livelihood. And when we shake our fists angrily at the people who think differently than us, we are acting out of fear. So we see two different responses to this fear. One responds with anger, and the other with rejection and judgment. And you know what's interesting about these two different people? They're both fearing the same exact thing. They fear man. And what does this fear of man look like? Well, it's all about self-preservation. This fear, it drives us to prioritize our own safety, our comfort, our reputation above anything else, even if it comes at the expense of the people around us. And what's even worse is that it gets in the way of a life that's fully dependent, fully trusting in God. When we live in this constant state of fearing man, we get so wrapped up constantly trying to do the things that will gain the approval of others. So what can we do? How do we get out of this spiral of letting our fears take over our decisions, our thoughts, and ultimately our lives? Well, there's one person in our scripture today that shows us that despite the very real fears we may face, we can still live boldly and confidently in the Lord. Picking up in verse 27, it says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus." You see what Barnabas did there? He's saying, "I don't care what the rest of you guys think. I don't care if you're going to judge me. Paul is a brother in Christ, and he belongs here." It seems like such a small act, but look what happens later in the text. In verse 31, it says, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied." The church had peace and was being built up. And you see that super important detail that was mentioned? It says, "and walking in the fear of the Lord." So what can we do with all of these earthly, human, very real things that we experience? We focus on a different kind of fear, a fear of God. But this isn't like being afraid of rejection or being afraid of letting people down. That's what's different about Barnabas here. We see Barnabas walking in the fear of the Lord. And in this simple gesture of allowing Paul to stay, he's saying, "Lord, I trust you in this. You are an almighty God. If you are as big and mighty and as loving as I think you are, I trust what you're doing here." In fact, there's another incredible example of someone who is fearing God in the Bible, and it's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Imagine him there, knowing he was about to endure the most painful death, knowing he was going to be betrayed, mocked, beaten. I'm sure there was a part of him that had those earthly fears in that moment. And as he's praying to God, this is what he prays. He says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Not my will, but yours be done. That is fearing God. That is Jesus acknowledging his Father is an all-powerful, all-knowing, and loving God. Church, together, we are seeking collectively to know Christ and to make him known. And you know what that means? We are fearing the Lord. And yes, there are things that when we look around, they seem big, but none are bigger than our great God. So let's walk in the fear of the Lord together. And listen, I already see you all, okay? I know that many of you are doing this and living in the fear of the Lord. And I hope one day, when they tell the story of Stanwich Church, they say these exact things about us. So I'm going to read out loud that last verse one more time, and I'm going to change some words. And this is going to be my prayer for each one of us as a body of believers. Listen to these words. It says, "So the church throughout all Greenwich and Stamford and Fairfield and Westchester County had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied." May it be so. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.